Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Pardon? You didn't bring it. Well, slap your hand and say, "Bad boy. How do I come to church and not bring my Bible? Especially to this church." And announcements real rapidly. Monday night we'll be back at prayer. All the schedules will go back on again this week. Praying here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Remember City Hall prayer on Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. And then Bonnie says that the dance practice will begin again on regular schedule. Any other announcements that I might need to make before we... Okay. We have been talking about the importance of the Word of God in your life. How do you see the Word of God specifically? We've been talking about how the process works to get the Word of God into our life. And this is the primary thing that I really want to minister to us. I want us to understand the process of how the Word of God gets into us, how it changes our lives. I'm so tired of just preaching messages. You know, I want to impart the gifts or whatever that it is that I have that God has given me. I want to help us. And there's a process that I'm wanting to relay to us as to how the Word of God gets into our lives. We all, or most Christians, basically see the Word of God differently. Some people see it as the weapon that they war with. Some people see it as a book of rules. Some people see it as the truth or principles that we live by. And we all know that in part, all that is true, but how do we need to see the Word of God? What is the final line? How must we come to seeing the Word of God? Who can tell me? We have to see the Word of God as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when Christians tell me that they have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, but they don't spend time in His Word, I question that intimacy that they have. How can you spend time with something that you love but you never talk to it? You never allow it to talk to you or him or her. How do you do that? That's impossible. And so we become hearers of the Word. We come to church and we hear the Word, or we stick a tape in, or we listen to a radio program, and we become hearers of the Word but not doers. And what does the Bible say that if we're a hearer of the Word and not a doer, what happens? We deceive our own selves. And so when we do that, we don't need the devil. We're just deceived because we start being like a person that looks into the mirror. We walk away from the mirror and we forget what we need to get straightened out in our lives. But the guy that hears and does the Word of God, then he can walk away and he can continuously be working on his life. And his life becomes abundant. Now hear me right. When I say that I'm not sure of the intimacy of your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not reading the Word, I'm not talking about you're being chosen from the foundations of the world, that when you leave your body that you'll not go to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. But you will not live an abundant life. You will not grow in the things of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not growing. Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. And I gave you an example of a relative that Judy and I have, a 57-year-old woman who has Down syndrome. And her mind, she's about 4 years old. Her name is Ann. Now, her body's 57 years old, but her mind is like 4 years old. She likes coloring books and she likes crayons and dolls and these kinds of things. Sweet as she can be, but she's never maturing. And I know Christians that have been saved or been serving the Lord for 57 years, but in their minds, they're 4 year olds. And so when the Bible talks about desiring the sincere milk of the Word, it's not talking about that you're a baby. What he's talking about is that we, no matter how mature we are, we should be as a baby wanting the sincere milk of the Word. As a baby would wake up in the middle of the night crying out for milk. as a baby cries out all during the day for the milk. We should want the Word of God in our lives just like that, because in the Word of God is life and health. So, how do you see the Word of God? Do you see it as Jesus Christ? If you see it as Jesus Christ, then it must sit on the throne of your heart. It must rule and reign as Jesus Christ. It becomes Lord. And in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord. And He will say what? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. There wasn't any word in you. You weren't doing what I said. How can you say you love me and don't do what I say do? Is that what He says? So, we don't need the devil a lot of times to deceive us, because we deceive our own selves because we do not read the Word of God. And so what we did last time we were together, is that we made a commitment that we were going to read through the New Testament together. And those of you that weren't here, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to make the commitment with us. I worked on the schedule this week and reading three chapters a day. So it takes me about 10 minutes. Now what this is going to show you is that it's going to show a lot of us how little we're spending time with Him. Because you're going to have to force this in. You're going to have to find some place in your lifestyle where you can take time and read three chapters a day, 10, 15 minutes. And you're going to see, you're going to be forced to see how little time you are spending with the one that you proclaim as Lord of your life. It's going to open our eyes. He's Lord. Then we're talking about the process of the Word. How do we get the Word of God into our hearts where it can become fruitful? We looked at Matthew 13. The story is also in Mark 4, but it talks about the parable of the sower. The sower went forth and he sowed the seed. Now, I've always taught this in times past, is that everybody was one of these types of soils. That you had pathway people, you had stony people, you had thorny people, and you had good people. Now, in part, that's partially true. But I don't see that way now. I think that in my life, I've got some pathway places. I don't understand all the Word of God, Steve. And when it's preached and I don't understand it, the devil comes immediately and takes it away. Because I don't understand. How many understand all the Word of God? You need to be doing what I'm doing, and I need to sit down and listen. So in our lives, we can see that we've got some pathway places. And then we've got some hard places or some stony places. What is that? Well, it can be doctrines, such as tongues are of the devil. Anybody ever heard that? It's a hard thing, and so when tongues start coming forth or the gifts of the Spirit start coming forth, I'll receive that. So it can immediately take root, but it's not going to grow. There's also unforgiveness that a lot of Christians have. We also can find the thorny soil, cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. Dr. Cash talks about mammon a lot of times, how people love money, mammon, more than they love the things of God. Keeps you out of church. Cares of the world. Deceitfulness of riches. Chokes the Word of God out of you. And then there are the good soil. I have that in me too. And I'm going to share some examples with you in just a few seconds. But I've learned over the years how to overcome these things. But then in me also is the 160 and 30-fold production. In me too is production. There are some things about the Word of God that have become very productive in my life. So how many of you see that it's more of a process that the Word of God must go through in our lives to become productive, rather than seeing that we are stony or pathway or thorny or good? Do you see that? So it's a process. So what I'm wanting to relay to us through this teaching is that the Word of God is important, and you've got to see it as Jesus Christ. And then secondly of all, there's a process that Word goes through in each one of our hearts to become productive. Now, Proverbs chapter 4. Today, well, I want to finish up the ABCDs of the process, but I also want to title this one, Getting the Stumps Out of Our Lives. Getting the Stumps Out of Our Lives. Let me just go ahead and explain to you. I know you men will know this, and probably most of you women, but if you have a tree, and you cut that tree off, and you can cut it right off down level with the ground, cut it off as low as you want to. Will this stump, these roots, will they try to grow again? Will little sprigs begin to come out and try to grow again. And if you allow those little sprigs to keep growing, you're going to have that tree back there again. Right? And so what Christians start thinking is they got a demon. When all of, in fact, God is a root. But if over the years' time, every time a little sprig spurts up there, you cut that sprig off, what's going to happen to this stump? It might take a couple years, is that right? But one day you'll be able to walk out there and kick that thing, and it's done. It's there no more. And so what I want to relay to us today is I think that all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we would be honest and say, we've got some stumps. And what we do is we just allow these sprigs to grow. We'll cut it off after it gets pretty big. Maybe we'll start all over again. But what I'm wanting to relay to us today is how do we just get these things out? How do we get them out? Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, A, give attention to my words. Bend, B, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart. C, concentrate. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst. D, let them dominate your heart. A, B, C, D. Verse 22. For this is why they are life. Why did Jesus come? To give you life, and that abundantly. The words of God is Jesus Christ, is God, sits on your heart. It gives you life. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Now, he's not talking in the realm of spirit here. This, he's really talking about your personal body. The word of God, Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning in your heart, sitting in the midst of your heart, on the throne of your heart, will literally give you life and health. Watch over your heart. Why? Because from the heart flow the springs. King James Bible says the issues of life. We've got to understand that it's from the heart that the issues of life that we face come from. If we are continuously facing bad issues of life, then it's coming out of my heart. That's what I am. It's not what goes into the man that defiles the man. It's what comes out of the man that defiles the man. And out of the mouth proceed the issues of the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. By your words, you are justified. By your words, you're condemned. The issues of life come out of my heart. An adulterer, Jesus said. He says, you've heard in times past, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery. What does that mean? It means that down the road, there's this issue that's going to come out of his heart. And down the road, he's going to commit adultery. You understand that? So the issues that we face are really in our heart. So we've got to now talk about, it's important, what you hear and how you hear. We've looked at these scriptures, and I don't have time to turn to them all. But the Bible teaches us to be careful, take heed, Jesus says, what you hear. We get around people, and it's not what goes in that defiles us, but it gets in. And when it comes out, that's when it defiles us, when it becomes real. Take heed what you hear. We get around junk, we get junk in us, we get all this garbage in us, our heart will come to get defiled, it will defile our life. Be careful who you hang around with. Be careful what you hear, what you listen to. Be careful how you hear. Always hear things in the way that they're supposed to be heard. So out of the heart come the issues of life. And then prior to this, though, he is telling us, how do we get it into our heart? How do we get the Word of God going through the process to get into our hearts? A, you've got to give attention to it. And I've given you the example over these past, this is the third sermon on this, but I've given you the examples of my little garden that I have. The first thing you have to do when I planted that garden is I had to tear down an old dog pen. I had to cut down little sapling trees. I had to cut down weeds. I got my lawnmower in there. I cut down the grass and stuff as low as I could. And then I got Dr. Grimm over there with his tiller, and he tried to till it up for me. And we live on this hill, and there's about this much dirt, and then nothing but rock. And we had a terrible time giving attention to this soil. What does that mean to you? You got to attend to your heart. You got to get it prepared to receive the seed. And as we talked about Matthew 13, remember the principles that I so diligently emphasized and tried to impress upon us is that the Word of God in seed or seedling form, as wonderful and glorious as the Word of God is, cannot compete with unprepared soil, pathway, cannot compete with stony, or cannot compete with thorny. It won't do it. You might even get it started, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches will even choke that out. You have to attend. You have to prepare the soil. You have to get the stones out. You have to get as many stumps out as you can. You got to start giving attention to it. That's A. B, you got to bend your ear or incline your ear. Faith comes by hearing. You got to give your ear to hearing the Word of God. Get it planted in you. You got a pack of seeds in your lap. And you got to hear it. And everything in there you don't hear. When the Bible talks about hearing, Jesus said this to the people. He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Now, let me do this to us. You that have an ear, hear. How many of you have ears? Would you raise your, if you have, this is serious. I want you to, so how many then, when Jesus said that, knew that they had ears? So it's a different kind of hearing. I can be preaching something from the Word of God and you will hear something totally different. Is this true? Have you ever done that? Whoever was preaching, they were saying one thing, but man, you were hearing something different. It was ministering into your heart. Well, that's the difference. That was getting planted into you. What we hear will get into us. And we've got to be careful what we hear, be careful how we hear. We got to get it into our, that's how it's planted. So then this is speaking of getting it planted into our lives, into our hearts. So see, you got to bend your ear. Now, I talked to you and I told you that to give attention and to get it planted into your heart, you got to do some things. And you can't be fussing and fighting. When you come to church, you need to have peace. You can't be arguing with your husband or your wife or your kids. You need to try to rest some before you come, but so you won't be fighting sleep. You need to enter into praise and to worship, because that way the ground gets tore up and you can receive the seed. There are some things that we need to do to attend and to prepare so that the seed can come into us and get covered up and get planted. A, attend. B, bend your ear and get it in you. C, Bible now says, I think it's verse 22 there. I mean, 21 maybe. 21, the Bible says there, he says, "Don't let it depart from your eyes. Let this start being the central thing that you focus on." Concentrate, see, concentrate on what you're doing. As I plant my little garden every year, there's hardly a day that goes by that I don't go up and look at my little garden. Now, sometimes I know that this, I would have just put the seed in the ground yesterday, and I know there is no way that it's going to come up, but I'll still yet go up there and look at my garden. Now, how many of you have ever done that? Randy, you ever done that? You know that there's no way that it's going to come up, but yet you, there's something, you're concentrating, you're focusing on this garden now, and you want to see how it is. Well, you may go up there and you may see a thorn. And you'll slip down that aisle and that row, and you'll pull the thorn. You'll get it out. Or maybe there's a rock, and you'll thrust the rock out because you know that the plants aren't going to grow well. And so you begin to give attention to, you begin to focus on what you're trying to produce in your garden. And you're that way. Our lives are that way. When we want to begin to work on something, we have got to start focusing on it. You agree with that? Let me give you an example. Okay, it's the week before Christmas. It really isn't now, but it was the week before Christmas. When I was going to give you this example, it was the week before Christmas. And you decided that you really needed to start tithing. Dr. Cash had come and he had really pricked your heart by the unction of the Holy Ghost that you really needed to tithe. You really needed to tithe. And so you decided that you're going to start tithing. So you write your check out and you pay your tithes. And by the way, you do pay tithes. You give offerings. You pay tithes. The tithe is the Lord's and it's holy. And you'll pay the tithe whether you pay it here or he gets it. But he's going to get the tithe. If you don't pay it, he's going to get 20% interest. But you can check that out for yourselves. But anyway, you've decided that you're going to pay tithes. So you start tithing and you plant that seed. And it's starting to produce. It's out of the ground now. You've paid tithe. You have a seedling going. But now it's the week of Christmas. Okay? And you got to get Christmas presents. Goodness knows you got to get Christmas presents, right? And so you go spend all your money on Christmas presents. Come back to church on Sunday. Dr. Cash comes up and receives the offering, and you don't have any money to pay your tithes. Now, have the cares of the world just choked out your little seedling that you had up? You've accomplished nothing. By just getting a seedling up, we haven't accomplished anything. It's not until it becomes productive that we begin to accomplish something. We're in a different realm now. We're not talking seed. We have got something growing in our lives. We have got to give it attention. We have got to watch over it. We have got to focus on it for a little while until it gets big enough to where you don't have to all the time. What should you have done? What should you have done with your tithe? Pardon? First fruits. And eventually that's what will happen. Eventually it will be the very first thing. You don't even think about spending that money. It's God's. By that time, though, it is rooted in your life and it's a part of you. And you don't have to watch it all the time. It's growing. It's there. It's rooted. It's deep in your heart. I was building a house when the Lord had convicted me about getting out of debt. And so I wanted to get out of debt. And so the way that I was to do it was to sell one house that we had and build another house. And so to do this, we needed to move in with my mom and dad, and we did, and I was working at night, and so I would come home from work, and I would, as soon as Judy would leave to go to work, I would go over to the house, and I would work on this house, and I'd work on this house until 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then I'd run home, and I'd get me a nap before the kids come home, and before Judy got home, and the kids come home, they were supposed to get their homework quickly, and then when Judy got home about 5:30 or 6, we'd all load up again, and we'd go back to this house. This went on for 6 months. Now I was a Sunday school teacher. I was very regular at church. I never missed anything. I was a tither. I was doing all of these things. But over these periods of 6 months that it took me to develop this house, to build this house, I stopped reading the Word of God. I stopped praying. And for the next little while, my wife and I had the hardest time that we've ever had in our marriage. Moving my focus from what I should be focusing on, I began to focus on what I shouldn't focus on. And all of a sudden, what I should be focusing on was consumed by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And all of a sudden, what I should have been giving myself to and what really was important, I wasn't giving myself to, and this house had become priority. And every one of us can relate to that. What are you giving your time to? If it's anything other than what you should be giving your time to, then what you're headed for is some hard issues of life. Very hard issues. This is why a lot of people end up in divorce, financial problems, problems with their children. They just don't focus, they don't give attention or concentrate on what they need to be concentrating on in their lives. You relate to that? That's the truth. That's the truth. When you move your focus to something else than what it should be, then what you're going to find out is that your relationship with Christ, the Word of God, is going to be choked out of you. You'll stop praying. You'll stop reading. You'll stop fellowshipping with the body. You'll stop coming to church regularly. And next thing you know, you've got problems. Your issues of life. Why? Because now the heart is producing something that it shouldn't be producing. You've allowed this stump to start growing again. A, attend. B, bend. C, concentrate. D, it has got to dominate. This process has got to dominate your life. He says there, it must sit in the midst of your heart. Now, in the midst of your heart speaks of the throne. This process has got to be the most central thing in your life. It has to be in the midst of your heart. I'll explain. I've shared with you all this about my garden, and the first year I got some tomatoes, but I didn't get a lot of tomatoes, and they were pretty puny tomatoes. But I did get some tomatoes. Second year, they were bigger and more. The third year, I brought you in and showed you some of my tomatoes. You remember my tomatoes? Big old tomatoes. Now, it took me 3 years of doing this. Now, when I grow a tomato plant, my tomato plants are about this high. Weeds all around them, because after they get so high, you don't really care about those weeds because they're not going to bother them. Am I right? They'll be right next to them. You can reach down and just pull a weed up right next to the plant. It's not going to hurt that plant. Why? Because it's rooted. Because it's strong. It's ready. I was sharing with you about my house. I taught Sunday school. I was rooted. I was faithful. Man, I tell you what. I was there. Back to my tomato plant. No matter how strong this tomato plant is, or how big this tomato plant is, or how pretty this tomato plant is this year, if I don't go through the cycle again next year, am I going to have any tomatoes from this plant? In my life, building my house, if I didn't continuously go through the process of keeping the Word of God in me, reading, praying, doing the things that I know I needed to do, I wasn't going to be around the next year. I was going to allow the devil to deceive me. I could have lost everything. The process has to dominate. You're going to go right back through it again. Every year, you're going to go right back through it. How many times does a farmer plant? Does he plant once, or does he plant every year? Every year. How many times does he throw out stumps, and how many times does he throw out rocks? How many times does he battle with the thorns? One time, or every year? Our lives are identical to that, folks. The process is the dominating thing in our life. There has to be a continual plowing. There has to be a continual planting. There has to be a continual fighting of the tares in the world and the deceitfulness of riches, because it'll get you. It'll get you. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself working every Sunday rather than coming here to the house of God. Now, is there anything wrong with working on Sunday? No. But if it begins to choke the Word out of you and destroy your relationship with Christ, then you're going to have some problems. Understand what I'm trying to communicate to you. Anything wrong with buying Christmas presents and not paying your tithe? Well, is there anything wrong with buying Christmas presents? No. Nothing wrong with those things, but when they begin to consume us, when they begin to take over, then all of a sudden we've got problems. So the process must sit in the midst of our heart. It has to dominate our life. How many times do you discipline your children? One time or every time they need it? How many times have you disciplined Luke, Steve? Huh? Okay. How many times do you have marital problems? Just once or the whole time you're married? Let's be real. Come on, folks. I mean, we get this thinking. Well, if I had somebody else. No! And you deal with them every time. It's a continuation. And the process has to be dominant. A, you got to attend. You got to prepare your heart, folks. You can't throw seed up here on this platform and expect it to grow and be productive. You got to put some dirt up there. You got to plow it. You got to get it planted. You got to give the seed a chance. You got to hear it. You got to put yourself in a place where you can hear it. You got to read the Word. You got to listen to the Word. You got to do something to get the Word in you. You hear? C, you got to concentrate on it. You got to give it some time. You have got to focus on that for a while. It's got to become productive. You're not going to get any fruit off a little tomato plant like this. And if you want big tomatoes, you don't plant salad tomatoes. Right? You got to rotate your crops. You got to plant what you need in your life. D, it's got to dominate you. It has got to be priority in your life. The Word of God is in the midst of your heart. Because it's not just the Word of God. It is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen? I want to end this just by us all saying these things together. That's kind of a capsule summary of what we've been talking about here. Just want to repeat it because by our words we're justified and by our words we're condemned. So just repeat with me, if you will. God has given us the Word of life, Jesus Christ. Say that. He has given us ears to hear the Word of life. He has given us spiritual eyes to focus on the Word of life. He has given us a heart to plant and to raise the Word of life. He has promised life and health to those who walk in this process. So why do we do it? Because, don't have to repeat that, but why do we go through this process? Because in this process, folk, is life and health. Abundant life, Jesus says, I come to give you life and that abundantly. I didn't come just to take you to heaven. That's going to be an outworking of it. Hallelujah. But God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be productive. He has a purpose for you. And He wants you to be healthy. He is concerned about our bodies. And He wants us to be healthy. Amen? Now, those of you who weren't here with us last week and got to make the pledge with us, would you raise your hands, please, and let us get you a few of these cards so that you can, and then I'll go back through it again. Okay? Steve, will you take care of this? Hold them up now. And he's going to give you a card, and I'll go over the card with you in just a second. Doug Lance, who's back? Nobody. Holy Ghost, will you? I want to play that tape a little bit, the one with the teaching, the word on it. Who can? There you are. That it should be in the tape player that plays all the time. This is the dramatization tape that he's going to be playing for you. And now what I'd like for you guys to do, once you get these cards to these people, the card that you have gotten actually is a card that they sent me from a place called Hosanna. It's not the Hosanna that we're all familiar with. This is a word place that's called Hosanna. And I was doing this, I was preparing for this teaching when they called. And what they do is they actually sell tapes. A few years back, we were doing something with these people, and we had the tapes in here, and what they have now is you'll look on this. What they wanted us to do was get these tapes and listen to the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and so forth. And so it's a great idea. If you don't have teaching tapes, and if you're not going to read the Word, and you don't have time to read the Word or whatever, then it's a tremendous way of putting on in your car and listening to the Word of God as you go to work, or maybe when you're laying in the bed at night, go to sleep with it, whatever. But it's a great way of hearing the Word if you're not going to read it. But the principle that I'm wanting to project to us is not just listening as far as listening to a tape, but reading the Word of God. And that's what I've been trying to project to us. Now, these are good tapes, and that dramatization tape is really good. I've been listening to it this week, and it's slick. It really is. And some of you have ordered those. Now, what this is, it's a order form. If you want to order the New Testament in the NIV or King James or New King James or the New Revised Standard or the Spanish Version, then that'll cost you $18. If you want to get the dramatization tapes of Matthew through Revelation, that costs you $28. Then they have a teen story dramatization for $28. If you want that, just mark that, and I'll get that ordered for us. But what I want you to do is make a commitment that you will, with me and the rest of this church body that are doing this, will read through the book of Matthew through the book of Revelation in the next 3 months. That's about 3 chapters a day. And here's your schedule that you've got. Now, every once in a while, I put in 4 chapters, and I've got it in parentheses where we have to read 4 chapters, like In the end of Matthew, you'll need to read four chapters just to finish that up. But there's also a place that I think only have one chapter. Look at Philemon. That day you just read one chapter. So it kind of balances out at about three chapters a day. Takes about 10, 15 minutes to do. What I'm asking you to do, those of you who have the cards, is if you'll do this with us, if you'll spend time with the Word, in the Word of God, take 10, 15 minutes a day, sign the card, commit with us, and most of us in here have done this. We did it last week. And let us have the card back. We want to take it before you go. And if you want to order the tapes, then you mark one of those little squares. You pay for the tape when it comes in. Pay for the tapes when they come in. $18 or $28, whichever one you want. I'll order those for you. But what I want you to do is commit to read the Word of God. And the thing I want us to see, the thing I want us to learn, is how little time we're really spending with Him. Really see how little time we're spending with the Word of life. And yet we wonder why our lives go so crazy. We wonder why the issues that we face are so out of whack. We wonder why our children do what they do. We wonder why our spouse and our do what they do. We wonder why our finances are the way they are. We wonder all these things, and yet we spend so little time in the Word of God, where the issues of life will become planted into your heart. And that's the thing that I'm really wanting us to see and develop into our heart, a habit. After you do something for 90 days, every day, it's going to become habitual. And you're going to have a habit of the Word of God. Now, if you've signed that, we want to take them up. Or if you haven't signed it, we want to take it up. And we want to get the cards. And if you checked any of these tapes that you'd like to order, then I'll get those for you. And what I want to do now, how many see that the Word of God does bring healing to you? Do you see that? Whatever that your need is in your body, it needs healing. And what I want to do now is I want to pray for some people. Betty Cooper.